The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. 16 people indicted in Michigan. What does it mean? They signed a piece of paper, and they might be going to jail for the rest of their life. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast and get your friends to do the same. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
We have been warning for the last couple of years. In fact, it was 2 years ago where we said that the Night of the Long Knives was beginning, which was, of course, was in Nazi Germany, where the regime started to criminally go after their political dissidents. Lock them up. We call this Stalinistic or Maoist. All that stuff is accurate. And we've seen it at the top level and the bottom level. For example, if you make a meme that the regime does not like Douglas Mackey, they're going to put you in prison. So they need to go after the humorist, the satirist. They need to try to send a message that if you mock the regime, a decade in prison. They need to go after the truth tellers. Steve Bannon is facing federal prison. We don't know when he's going to go, but he has been convicted and sentenced. Dinesh D'Souza, remember when he did a very successful film against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton? He was also indicted and convicted by the Southern District of New York. James O'Keefe, truth teller, citizen journalist, Project Veritas, had his apartment raided by the FBI. And then, of course, was removed by Project Veritas under very suspicious circumstances. The people on January 6th, you go and you wave a flag. You're 75 years old. And they go and throw you in a gulag. All of this points towards an objective. Secret police tactics, Gestapo, totalitarianism. They can't win the country by persuasion or dialogue. And this fits perfectly into a disturbing trend that I started to realize 8 or 9 years ago when I first started at Turning Point USA. When I started to go to these college campuses, I was under a false assumption that everybody would want to have a conversation about their ideas. And the vast majority of left-wing activists are not interested in dialogue. Some are, most are not. They find speech to be annoying, threatening. They would rather use power. They do not believe that we are the speaking beings. They do not want to have to use reason. They'd rather say, I'm in charge, you're not. I'm going to complain my way to the top, and I'm going to put you in prison. Their quest for power, their naked quest for power supersedes the rule of law. It also supersedes decency. And so we've seen at every possible level, Donald Trump facing multiple indictments. Bannon, D'Souza, O'Keefe, Giuliani. It's across the board. Now, I don't have to remind you, Hillary Clinton walks free. Anthony Fauci walks free. James Comey walks free. Andy McCabe walks free. And they're most likely not going to be held accountable anytime soon. Hunter Biden signs a little document. Lois Lerner walks free. Loretta Lynch walks free. Bill Clinton walks free. Epstein's entire network walks free. The pharmaceutical companies walk free. I'm not doing this just to fire you up. I'm making a point that is true. What happened yesterday in some way is even more infuriating and unjust than what they're doing against Donald Trump. What they're doing against Trump was unprecedented, historic, never seen it before. But what they've done now in Michigan is to go after you. You've probably seen that meme before. They're coming after me because they want to come after you, and I'm just in the way. It's one of Donald Trump's most persuasive one-liners, and it's totally true. Well, they're no longer not going after you. In Michigan, yesterday, the attorney general has announced criminal charges, a pile of felonies against Trump-supporting senior citizens. 16 people in Michigan were indicted by the state's far-left attorney general, Dana Nessel. All the while, by the way, crime is up in Detroit. Michigan's a disaster. They are charged with 8 felonies apiece because they signed a piece of paper. That's right. They signed a piece of paper to become alternate pro-Trump electoral college electors. Now, what is noteworthy here, and we'll go into the details of it, is why now? Why is this all bubbling up now? And it's obvious. The alternate elector piece is critical to be able to prove Donald Trump, quote unquote, prove Donald Trump was a seditious conspiracist. It is by no coincidence whatsoever that Donald Trump gets a letter from Jack Smith and simultaneously the Michigan attorney general moves on these quote unquote alternate electors. I was talking to somebody the other day that was one of the good guys in the Department of Justice. He's left and he's now running his own law firm. He's a good guy. He tries to fight the bad guys every single day. And I was texting with him. I said, what is going on here? And he's not a Trump fan, by the way, but he is a rule of law fan. He thinks it's ridiculous what's happening to Trump. And he said, Charlie, he said, I was in the DOJ for a decade. He said, the coordination between state attorney generals and the Department of Justice is next level totalitarian horrifying. That's from a guy who served in attorneys general. This is a guy who served in the DOJ for 10 years. And I said, what do you mean? He said, Charlie, we have not seen this level of coordination since 9/11. We have not seen this level of orchestration between state attorney generals and the federal government since 9/11, where everyone was on the same page. Everyone was working as if it was like this organized counterterrorism unit. And a theme that we've been building out on this program is we lost our principles and lost our mind after 9/11. We are still living in a post 9/11 world where we decided to forsake the Constitution and forsake the idea of natural rights, all because we were afraid of another terror attack. 22 years later, we are now living in a totalitarian country, largely because of our fearful reaction post 9/11. But we've built that out, I think, rather comprehensively the last couple of months. So what exactly did these people do? Did these people burn down federal courthouses? Did these people create an autonomous zone in downtown Seattle? Did these people burn, loot, and murder like BLM did? Did these people scam a bunch of donors from all 50 states like BLM did and use it for personal security and personal expenses? Did these people launder money from Romania and Eastern European countries and get wire transfers from the mayor of Moscow's wife? Did these people go to China and compromise American policy for their own benefit? No, these people signed a piece of paper. They signed a piece of paper that, by the way, had strong legal precedent. The 8 felonies allegedly include forgery, conspiracy to commit forgery, and violations of Michigan election law. The felonies combined carry maximum penalties of 85 years in prison. Every single person charged is over 50 years old. 11 of the 16 are over 65, and one is over 80. Before I go any further, let me just say the obvious. This is sadistic. This is administered by people that enjoy seeing everyday Americans suffer. It's not going to get better. This is secret police tactics, and they're coming after it in a bottom-up, top-down approach. Go after the leader, persecute the rank and file.
I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
What is the essence of this criminal charge? It involves Donald Trump. So they need to try to indict the electors to try to make it seem as if Donald Trump was trying to overthrow the government through this alternate elector theory. So what exactly is the alternate elector theory? Let me say this. We're going to get wonky and to the legal aspect of it, but let me also just talk as plainly as I can. This idea that signing a piece of paper because there might have been disputed election results sent back to the state legislatures that you're somehow Timothy McVeigh is preposterous. They're treating these people with more criminal weight, more criminal heaviness from the state than BLM, Antifa, people that have destroyed the fabric of the country. So here's what happened. If you remember, in December 2016, while Donald Trump was disputing the results of the 2020 election, no, that's not right. In December of 2020, while Donald Trump was disputing the results of the 2020 election, 16, the reason is because there's too many 16s, okay? 16 electors, six, it's the whole things. 16 Michigan Republicans signed and submitted their own electoral vote tallies for the state. They said that actually Trump had won the state of Michigan. And so they were legitimate electors and they were casting their ballot on behalf of Trump for the Electoral College. Now, where did they get such an idea like this? They did this for a very specific reason. The Constitution and federal law describes how the Electoral College is supposed to work. Specifically, the electors are to assemble on the first Monday after the second Wednesday of December to cast their votes for president. Then those votes are collected on paper and sent to Washington, D.C., where they are counted by the vice president during a session of Congress. That was on January the 6th, as you might remember. So the idea was this. While Trump was continuing to pursue every possible angle to contest the 2020 race, he needed to make sure that his electors were still around and presenting themselves as valid electors. Otherwise, the court could say, well, there was only one slate of electors that was sent. Too bad. And so in the contested states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, New Mexico, the Trump campaign collected the slates of Trump electors, just signing a piece of paper who testified that they were valid electors. Now, in her press conference, Dana Nessel presents this as some sort of sinister secret conspiracy. But this was all done very openly. In fact, they posted the pictures on Twitter, including in Arizona as well. The Michigan delegation literally went down to the state capitol building, the TV cameras, saying, if there is evidence to show that this was an illegitimate election, we're putting forth this elector slate so that you could be chosen. But this is the kicker. There's actually a legal precedent for this. So the Michigan attorney general is going after MAGA moms and MAGA grannies because they want to demoralize you. They want you afraid. This is exactly what Mao did. It's exactly what Stalin did. They want you to be afraid of the knock on the door, the IRS, the ATF, the FBI, the DHS. And I have a secondary point on that I'll make in a second. But the legal aspect of this, in the 1960 presidential election, we were talking about this a lot while this was happening, between Richard Nixon and JFK. The state of Hawaii was extremely close. Nixon was ahead on election night and the days that follow and the days that followed. So his three electors were certified as the official ones in the state. But Kennedy supporters were contesting that he had actually won the state of Hawaii. So as part of that dispute, JFK electors got together and signed pieces of paper almost identical to the ones that was signed in Michigan and Arizona. And they sent in those electors. ultimately, in 1960, Kennedy's alternate slate of electors ended up getting the electoral votes. Kennedy's Hawaii electors wrote that they were, in quote, duly and legally appointed and qualified members of the Electoral College for the state. They submitted an envelope containing their votes, which said, quote, we hereby certify that the list of these states of the state of Hawaii given for president are contained herein. They make zero mention of the state's ongoing recount or the fact that Nixon's vote slate had been certified as the official one. That's what's happened in 1960. And guess what? It worked. The recount eventually found that JFK had won by 150 votes. The state's newly installed governor retracted the prior certification and submitted a new one in favor of John F. Kennedy. And when the electoral votes were counted in Congress by Nixon himself, he counted the Kennedy votes. So basically in 1960, it looked like Nixon was going to take Hawaii, just like in 2020. It looked like Joe Biden was taking these states. And there were still a lot of questions about ballot access and constitutional measures and drop boxes and voter signature issues and mules. I mean, there were more questions than there were answers. And so 1960 set a precedent that you're able to send two slates of electors until you figure out what the heck is going on. That is now considered to be a felony in the state of Michigan. It's a preposterous legal argument, but it's not about the legal argument. They want you scared.
Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. And we want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial, who I use for my wealth management future, develop a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide to pivoting into the new chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. paxfg.com/charlie.
Boy, there's a lot more to go into with this alternate elector. Can you imagine you sign a piece of paper with precedent in 1960 because you have an election that was conducted unlike any other? And you say, oh, yeah, you know, there might be some issues with this. Jail. That's the answer. Throw you in jail. And it's not about the details of it. It's because you support the wrong political candidate. So in Michigan, they're going after everyday, ordinary folks that thought there might be a chance to first be an elector in the Electoral College. They sign a piece of paper. JFK set a precedent for this in the Richard Nixon election. Here's a very important line from a Politico story about what happened in 1960. One reason the Kennedy votes were counted was because of a state judge's ruling just 2 days before the vote tallying in Congress. Quote, Judge Ronald Jameson agreed that the certified Kennedy electors were legitimate. But more significantly, Jameson said it was important that those electors met and gathered on December 19th, 1960, as prescribed by the Electoral Vote Count Act or the Electoral Count Act. Rather than suggest the Democrat electors committed fraud, the judge pointed to their meeting as a key step and preserved their ability to be counted after the recount showed Kennedy had actually won the state. Jameson also threw out an effort by the GOP electors to scrap the entire election because of voter fraud allegations. So remember, Donald Trump said peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol. Do we have that tape? I think we asked for it earlier. I don't see it on the cut sheet. But that's important. So they're trying to go after him for January the 6th related events. Donald Trump said peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol. He also made a video where he said, go home, stop doing this. So they can't get him on quote unquote incitement, because thankfully we still have some semblance of a First Amendment where incitement cases are very difficult to win in court, even difficult in DC. So instead they're going to go after seditious conspiracy. No one's seen Jack Smith's indictment except Jack Smith and his group of thugs working with him. But let me tell you what is likely going to be on it. And I read 18 hours a day on this stuff. Here's what the indictment is likely going to be. Donald J. Trump embarked on a multi-month project to subvert American democracy. Even though we're a republic, this is what they're going to say. American democracy. By doing so, he met with fledgling legal minds such as Tom Fitton and Sidney Powell and John Eastman to pursue every possible avenue to remain in power, despite the fact he knew he wasn't going to win. That's exactly why they asked Jared Kushner in the grand jury meeting, did Donald Trump know he lost? This is super important, everybody. The reason they asked Jared Kushner that is because if they're able to get a single person to say, and Jared is great, I have a great relationship with him. I just saw him at Bedminster. And again, that's a leak out of the grand jury. It just goes to show, but they're trying to create the preconditions here. If somebody is going to say, oh yeah, Donald Trump knew he lost, then they're able to say that he was pursuing this with fraudulent intent. So the indictment will then say the alternate electors is what Jack Smith considers to be the strongest piece of his case. Because then he'll be able to say that through pressure of his campaign, phone calls that he made, to example, they're going to say from Kelly Ward or whatever, it shows a quote unquote conspiracy, not just a sudden out of control riot that happened on January 6th that was filled with federal agents. It shows pre-planning, meeting, communication, and they're creating a narrative. And this is why the Georgia indictment matters. All of this is symmetrical. None of this is by mistake, and it's all orchestrated against Donald J. Trump and you. It also has a secondary impact that I'll keep on repeating, which is they want you intimidated, scared, afraid, and to say no more and give up. But that's the more obvious take. Let's just get to the legal one. If they're able to have the Georgia case where Donald Trump made a perfectly fine phone call to Brad Raffensperger saying, I want you to find the votes, Professor Alan Dershowitz made the best argument ever in that, which is, I want you to find votes, not make up votes or create them. Find to seek things that already exist. Perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with it. But Fannie Willis and her other group of state-based thugs in the state of Georgia, in Fulton County, they're not going to be convinced or persuaded by that. And then you have Jack Smith, who, if you look at kind of how he's triaging, he's not able to say that Donald Trump incited it. Tough to do that. He's not able to say that Donald Trump was throwing over the government through violent means. He never met with the Oath Keepers, and I don't even know what the Oath Keepers were doing, but they were charged with seditious conspiracy, so they can't say that. So instead, they have to go to other ones, because there are clips like this that would weaken Jack Smith's case. Play cut 75.
Everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
And then, of course, 76. This does not help Jack Smith's case. Play cut 76.
I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt.
So that doesn't help Jack Smith's case. So if he, again, this is not how justice is supposed to be administered. You're not supposed to sit in a room and have a desired objective and try to figure out a way that you could create a case against a citizen. This is so backwards. It's so totalitarian. It's so Maoist. It's so Soviet. Where you're like, I hate this person. Let's figure out a way to try to put him in federal prison for 400 years. So they're throwing everything they can up against the wall. And so they've kind of gone through a triage where they might have thought the easiest way is, oh my goodness, of course, it's the speech. It's the riot. It's the day of. And that case is actually weaker than they thought. So the case they think is the strongest, which is super weak and awful, but this is in their own perverted legal mind, is the alternate electors. Because it checks different boxes. Where the defense against the speech and the day of is things got out of control. That wasn't the intent. People's passions went above and beyond. Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. He created distance. He disavowed. He sent out tweets, for example, saying, I'm asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you. So that makes Jack Smith's case harder. So but then Jack Smith said, oh, no, no, give me a little time. And so then you have these MAGA moms and MAGA dads and MAGA grandparents who signed a piece of paper. And they have all these loosely written election laws in all these key states where they'll say, okay, if we indict them in the key states, we'll then be able to have the prerequisite to say Donald Trump was the mastermind to subvert the election via alternate electors. That's what's really going on here. It's all coordinated. And yes, they're doing this because these are sick people. These are sadists. These are people that do not know the Lord. These are people that I think are filled with unclean spirits. How could you possibly live with yourself to administer indictments against an 81-year-old that signed a piece of paper that went nowhere, by the way, with a legal precedent in 1960. Do you think, I mean, you look, can we get the names here? And by the way, there's got to be some legal fund. This is not my expertise. Somebody's got to set up a legal fund. I will donate it. I will donate. Turning Point will donate. All of you should donate. Somebody who's ethical that's not going to do the Avenatti thing needs to swoop in and create a legal defense fund for these poor patriots in Michigan that signed a piece of paper. And by the way, I'm going to read their names out because they're already public. You should pray for these people and whatever has to be done to help them. Again, I'm not the legal mastermind here. They're doing, and just by the way, the age is significant here. These people are probably living on Social Security and fixed income. These are patriots that want a beautiful future for their kids or grandkids. And you have this demented jerk from Michigan who says, I want to see you suffer. These are bad people running our country. Kathy Burden, 70 years old, of Snover. William Hank Choate, 72, of Cement City. Amy Facinello, 55, of Grand Blanc. Clifford Frost, 75, of Warren. Stanley Grott, 71, of Shelby Township. John Haggard, 82 years old. How many of these people are veterans, by the way, that serve their country? I bet a fair amount of them. Of Charlevoix. Never pronounced that right. Great place, though. Marianne Henry, 65, of Brighton. Timothy King, 56, of Ypsilanti. Michelle Lundgren, 73, of Detroit. Michonne Maddock, 55 years old, of Milford. James Renner, 76, of Lansing. Myra Rodriguez, 64, of Grosse Pointe Farms. Rose Rook, 81, of Papa. She's literally from a place called Papa. 81 years old. 81 years old. Marion Sheridan, 69, of West Bloomfield. Ken Thompson, 68, of Orleans. Kent Vanderwood, 69, of Wyoming. What threat do these people pose? None. Zero. They're being dragged out 3 years after the fact for a Moscow show trial, and these people are going to have to go bankrupt and take up third mortgages on their home. And they're 81 years old, and they're going to have to go in front of a grand jury of the state, not a grand jury, but a jury of the state of Michigan, and say, no, I'm actually an insurrection. They have an unlimited budget in the Michigan state government to punish these people. And there is a psychological element besides the Donald Trump one. And I'm going to just state the obvious that you're all thinking. But if you think you can hide from these people, you're wrong. They will come after every single one of us. There is no hiding. Decide now. Do you want the country or not? If, by the way, if the answer is no, that's fine. Just get out of the way and let us go win this thing. They're trying to break your will. And look, I totally acknowledge the Turning Point team. We are a different breed. Some people, you know, normal people say there's something wrong with you. Well, you might think that because we don't give up. We lean in. You understand? We got team members here. They're like on no sleep since, no, that's Mr. Terrell here. No sleep since ActCon. As General Patton would say, lead, follow, or get out of the way. This is not happy talk time. Okay. It's not, well, you know, I steal this from Steve Bannon's shtick, and I couldn't stop laughing during our podcast interview. And I mean, Tim Scott is, he's a really sweet man, but you know, when Tim Scott says, and it's morning in America. Yeah, no, it's not. It's like the thick of night with a dense fog and we have no idea what the hell is going on. It's not morning in America. It can be if we defeat this parasitic movement. There's no hiding. And a lot of people say, well, Charlie, I just want to go watch the Dallas Cowboys and have a beer and raise my kids. And I miss the country. We all miss it. But you should understand, it's rare to have a country that's decent. It's rare to have a beautiful place. That doesn't mean you should be unhappy every day. You need to make a choice to be happy and joyful and to be a happy warrior. But yes, there will be times where I get my blood boiling to a fever pitch. And this is one of these days. Also, where are the Republican attorney generals indicting anyone on the Democrat side? You notice they do nothing. BLM, not indicted. Antifa, not indicted. Any of the crime syndicates on the left. And yet the Democrats enthusiastically indict these patriots. I'm just going to name their first names again. Kathy, William, Amy, Clifford, Stanley, John, Marianne, Timothy, Michelle, Michonne, James, Myra, Rose, Marion, Ken, Kent, ages 69, 68, 69, 81, 64, 76, 55, 73, 56, 65, 82, 71, 75, 55, 72, 70. They want them to die in jail. The Michigan Attorney General wants to give a death sentence to people that sign a piece of paper of which there was an open legal question and a specific legal precedent in 1960. You know how it was a legal question? Congress just had to pass a law this last session saying the vice president doesn't have the authority to choose alternate electors. If Congress had to pass a law, what the heck does that mean? That means it was an open question. And again, why now? Why now? This all interlocks. Donald Trump gets a letter on Sunday night saying he's a target of the grand jury. But that means, I'm telling you, you could take it to the bank. I'm making the prediction. When Jack Smith releases his indictment against Donald Trump, we'll read it here on air. Alternate electors will be the core piece of the seditious conspiracy. So they needed to have people simultaneously under indictment. Why? Because they want one of those MAGA grannies who's probably facing bankruptcy and has zero financial muscle to quote unquote testify against Donald Trump. That's what's happening here. It's an interstate RICO mob operation where they're going to take one of those people, God bless them, who's going to be afraid to the moon, who's going to see their life savings and their Roth IRA get absolutely obliterated by the unlimited purse of the Michigan government to say, oh yeah, actually I got a phone call from the Trump campaign. I felt pressure by Trump, and boom, Jack Smith will have his testimony he needs to put Donald Trump in federal prison for 400 years. That's what's going on here. That's why it needed to be orchestrated. They needed to, these people got indicted on felonies facing 60 to 70 years in prison. And I have to be told by Mike Pence and Chris Christie, well, we just have to trust our justice system. We have to trust our justice system. I finally figured out why they're running for president, by the way. I finally figured it out. And it happened at ActCon. They are not running to become president. They know deep down in their soul. They're running so that the bad guys don't come after them. That's why they're running. It's not even about vanity. It's not about pride or ego. That's part of it. They're running so that they can be oligarchs in the Vichy French. So that they'll be able to say, oh, no, 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 no. Remember, I did my part. I told them, I tried to stop Trump. Don't indict me. Don't audit me. Let me go give meaningless speeches at Lincoln Reagan Day dinners, giving platitudes and abstractions. I was on the right side of history. Don't come after me. They're doing this as a massive self-preservation exercise. That's why they're doing it. Yeah, ego, pride, private jets around the world, donor-funded steak dinners. They want to make sure the beast doesn't swallow them. That is not how patriots act.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work.
Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.